Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall, and this is the Progressive Commentary Hour. Today's theme, the corruption of Wikipedia and its very biased agenda. My guest from Germany via Zoom is Dirk Pohlmann, P-O-H-L-M-A-N-N. He has a long and distinguished career as an award-winning journalist. He also is associated with a prestigious spinoff, the Max Planck Institute in Germany. He has directed many films, in fact, over 20 films, and aired on National Geographic, Discovery, the History Channel Canada, in Australia and Russia and throughout Europe. Dirk was also a specialist in Cold War intelligence operations and has written extensively on the subject. Therefore, he has the acumen, the scholarship, when researching a story to dig deeper than what might otherwise be expected. He also has the contacts and the sources to see whether or not he has been given misinformation or partially true information or biased information, which makes his ultimate outcome much more relevant. For example, in his book, The Ecological Disaster, that was written with Noam Chomsky and Chris Hedges, Navsis Ahmed. Dirk, along with his colleague Marcus Feidler, have been critically evaluating Wikipedia and its internal operations to expose its bias agenda under the disguise of being a legitimate encyclopedia. Together, they have published their series, Stories from Wikipedia. They're in German, and they present a very, very different story than what the American media and the average person would believe. In fact, it seems almost non-believable. But their documentary films, The Dark Side of Wikipedia, and another film, Censorship, which detail how the site has become a systematic problem that threatens virtually all free speech. And Dirk is also instrumental in winning the first lawsuit for libel in the world and slander against a senior Wikipedia editor on behalf of the author, Elias Davidson, who provided evidence of what was happening on 9/11. So this was a landmark trial, and hopefully will pave the way for others who have recourse to begin sending some concern through the ideologues on Wikipedia. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Mr. Nall.
Dirk, before we just call me Gary, I'm too young to be a mister. Before we begin, I want to give a personal bit of history to show those who are not familiar with my history and Wikipedia, and those who are, why I feel this is so important. First, because Wikipedia, when it started, seemed like a novel idea. It would be a free-form operation, meaning anyone, irrespective of their background or level of scholarship, could edit something, and then the public could go up, and let's say they had a concern. They want information, and suddenly it's appearing. And then other editors could, if they found need to, change that. So the assumption was that it would be accurate and objective. And maybe at the beginning it was. But it's anything but now. I didn't pay attention to Wikipedia at the beginning. But later, my agent, one of the most respected in America, said, Gary, we're having some problems with some of the publishers looking at your new material because Wikipedia says in there that you're an age denier. They also said some other things, and I hadn't even looked. I looked and I said, well, virtually everything they said is wrong. So we looked up Wikipedia, and they said, if there's something wrong about a living author, all you have to do is correct it. And first of all, it will be taken down. Your whole bio will be taken down if you're a living person. So we asked them to take it down. They did not. We proffered our editorial corrections. Immediately, they were reverted back. That's odd. So other people who I know tried to change the inaccuracies on my bio, and they wouldn't be allowed to do that. In fact, several were banned from even trying to edit after that, even though the information they were editing was correct. Then my lawyer, me at the time, wrote a detailed correspondence with Wikipedia's lawyer saying this information is wrong. Gary Nall did not write a bio and put it up there. Someone else did, and the people who did are very malicious. They're part of what are known as the quackbusters, and they have no scientific credibility. And there are court cases that show that they're not expert in the field that they're claiming to be, and they've lost litigation. So why would you allow extremely biased people hostile to an entire field of health? And it seems like everything involving alternative health, from chiropractic to energy work, to prayer, to homeopathy, traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, holistic or alternative medicine, which, by the way, are accredited and taught in medical schools throughout the United States and around the world, and practiced by hundreds of thousands of board-certified physicians, and thousands upon thousands of articles. In fact, more than that, hundreds of thousands of articles are in PubMed and peer-reviewed literature supporting its legitimacy. And yet there's one small group who have evolved from just being quackbusters with no background, no qualifications, no training, nothing, to the so-called skeptics who oversee the entire field of alternative health, which is one of the most popular items on Wikipedia for people to go to. All of it is condemned. There are no exceptions. All of it is condemned with terms such as pseudoscience, quackery, unproven, nonsense, when in point of fact, it's just the opposite. Just look up all the scientific peer-reviewed literature on acupuncture, for example, and or on and medicinal herbs, and you'll see all the science, like on ginseng or green tea. And so you're not talking about a few articles or a few studies. You're talking about tens of thousands. Just look up the science on resveratrol, the healing nutrient you find in grapes or in red wine. It's into the thousands and thousands. Yet if you went to Wikipedia, you'd believe none of this exists. So after multiple efforts to change anything, we then started, Richard Gill, one of our scholars, and myself, began a three-year program of researching everything about Wikipedia. We were stunned by what we found. We saw gross biases. We saw people who were functionally illiterate in different areas, acting as if they were experts, and all hiding behind anonymous a barrier. Anyhow, we wrote 72 articles. They are up on GaryNall.com, and these are scholarly articles. We sent every single one to the lawyers and board members of Wikimedia Foundation that controls Wikipedia. They didn't change a thing. In fact, they threatened us. Don't ever again send anything to our board members. Well, tough. We're going to. And now we are preparing for litigation. Our lawsuits will begin in the next 3 weeks, and there are many of them. Behind those lawsuits are hundreds of people, such as Deepak Chopra, Professor Rupert Sheldrake, and Robert Kennedy Jr., Cheryl Atkinson, all these people, physicians and others, who, exactly as I have been, had my character assassinated, they too, and all the same, they can't change anything. If they try, then they're banned. And yet, the American media has refused to do an expose on it. Not NBC, not 60 Minutes, no one, not the BBC, though I don't trust anything the BBC does anymore. In any case, they're being protected and shielded. We do know that Google, that is controlled by Alphabet, owns two pharmaceutical companies. And hence, everything on Wikipedia seems to be pro-pharmaceutical, pro-GMO, pro-5G, even though there are thousands of articles and thousands of physicians and scientists who show that 5G is extremely dangerous, as is 4, 3, 2, and 1G. So everything in science involving health or the environment or on, for some reason, on politics, that you are slammed, you're libeled, with no recourse, none. Until now, you broke that mold. We are going into our litigation shortly, and hopefully hundreds of others will follow suit if we're able to sustain this. So that is what we have to offer now to you. Please start by telling us about your reporting on the corruption within Wikipedia, and primarily a network of senior Wikipedia editors who focus primarily on medical subjects, alternative health, vaccines, genetically modified crops, and similar subjects where the science is absolutely irrevocable. If you talk about glyphosate, the product made, the pesticide called Roundup, made by Monsanto, for decades, they were not held accountable. Now they lost one suit. Now there's 100,000 lawsuits, and they're losing all of them. They're settling. It also showed that they were hiding the truth. They knew that it could cause cancer, multiple cancers. They hid the truth. And yet go to Wikipedia and see what they have to say about Monsanto and pesticides. Then also look at the dangers of genetically modified crops. Then go to Wikipedia and see what they say. So on the one hand, you either have the largest number of functional illiterates in the history of editing, or you have something else. The forum is yours. Take us through your journey.
Yeah, maybe I should start with a remark which shows what is the problem with Wikipedia. After the court case was won by Elias Davidson, who was called a conspiracy theorist and put down in every way possible in the article, that was done after Mr. Elias Davidson, who is a Jew, he testified in the court case that this editor from Wikipedia had filed against us. He sued us, not the other way around, because we had published who he is. I will come to that later, because that was starting to get interesting. So first, the editor punished Elias Davidson for helping us. I mentioned he's a Jew because the attacks against us immediately were that we were some kind of anti-Semitic right-wing crackpots, which is funny because all the time I had been to left-wing in my life, and now suddenly I was changed to that. And we had three people who were either from the Israeli peace movement or German Israeli Jews from the peace movement who testified for us that they had been smeared too by this guy who called himself a Jew, but he just transferred to Judaism in 2013 to get this tag on him, which would protect him if somebody like us would publish what he does. So Elias Davidson was punished in his Wikipedia entry by this person, Felix, who is Jörg Grünewald is his original name. And then he sued Felix, Jörg Grünewald, for slandering him in Wikipedia, and he won. And after he won that case, Felix has to pay money to Mr. Davidson. He turned the group of Wikipedia editors turned to my entry. So my entry is now under, as a punishment for the lost case of Wikipedia, is under constant smear campaign. And they do everything they can do. It goes to minute detail. For example, for my university degrees, they say that I claim to have them. That's written in there. That's what they did to Elias Davidson, by the way, too. So that shows you that it is the private revenge forum of a group of Wikipedia editors who had been disposed by three German courts now. And the court decisions are all breaking ground on the media law side, because the second trial against us when we published them said, the judge said, that there is no right to anonymity in Wikipedia. They had assumed that the rules of Wikipedia would be valid in the German court, but the judge said, your rules don't apply to our law system. And if you work like you did, and which is manipulative and politically, in something that is called an encyclopedia, then you should not complain that you, using anonymity to slander people, that you are pulled out into the public, and there your names are under attack now. Because what they do is, like you, Mr. Null, you are under constant attack in Wikipedia. Your character assassination is a good expression for that. I didn't know that before. That's exactly what happens. And then the same people who do that all the time act very, very critical when their original names are put to the public. So you can see who it is and they have to take a responsibility for what they do and responsibility in court. So this is, I didn't know that we were the first really worldwide. I knew that we were the first in Germany to do that. And that was the effect because when I started to get into it, it was after I saw this first documentary of my now colleague, Markus Fiedler, who is a biologist, a microbiologist and teacher and a musician. He teaches music and biology at a school, or had taught. He was fired recently because of the emails and letters that were written from the people surrounding this Wikipedia group to a school. So the character assassination turns into a destruction of the existence, of your professional existence on his side. And they try to do the same with me. I might come to that because it really it's always from anonymity, or that you don't know who attacks you, and they write emails and letters in an organized way so that people, and then they say, why don't you look at the Wikipedia entry of this guy? And then they, so the Wikipedia entry, they prepare to look like it does, and they use it as proof. And this kind of circle argument is all around. But I came to that when Markus Fiedler made a very, very good scientific, I would call that, research on Wikipedia. The film itself is not a masterpiece, but it's interesting. It's really interesting, and it's very well researched. And then I contacted him because I, as many people, or most people I know in Germany, was of the opinion that Wikipedia is something like open source, that everybody can write in it. And that is the idea really of science, let's say, that that you publish something and then an educated group of people will look at it and make corrections, and there will be discussions, of course, for some time. But in the end, the public is the control. And then I noticed from his documentary that Wikipedia rather is the opposite. It's a very hierarchical system, which has an in-group which holds the power. And although this in-group is elected, they make sure that the people who can elect them are, they go through a bottleneck of whom they leave on Wikipedia or let edit on Wikipedia or not. In Germany, it says they fire about 500 persons per month. And today, it's only necessary to get fired on Wikipedia. You just have to mention the name of Markus Fiedler and me. That's enough to get fired for lifetime immediately in German Wikipedia. So we are kind of like the ultimate enemies of them. That's what we became. And so you see what you described about the science and the way that they behave. I looked at some of the things that you published now, and it's exactly the same. And that is fascinating because this group of skeptics that turns all your entries into a very, very dumb materialistic way of scientific views. There's nothing that's deviating from that path. There's only matter, and that's it. And that's what they call science. It's kind of a 19th century version of science, really. When that was the main idea for recognition or for science in general. That's the same in Germany. And it's a group of, you could say, 80 people. This is what officially we have more than 10,000 editors in Germany, but most of them only edited once or maybe two times. And there's 77% of the entries in Wikipedia are written by 1% of the authors. And if you go down, then you see there's a hyperactive core of about 80 in Germany, and they publish. And their worldview is Wikipedia. What pretends to be an encyclopedia is really the worldview of a minuscule group of people who are protect and elect themselves into that situation. And that is a protected. So if you're inside this group, then you're able to depict what you think as truth to the outside world. And interesting enough, the group is similar to what I see in the United States. And I had been in contact with a professor from Purdue University who did a study on the English American Wikipedia. in 2015, and they came to the same conclusions. They said it's 1% provides 80%. That's exactly the same figure. If you take 80 and 77, that's close enough of the content, and that they are more like a religious group or political activist group. And their reward for their work, for the long work hours, they have enormously long. These people work overtime. They hardly sleep, you could say. It's sometimes only 5 to 6 hours. Their reward is that they govern the discourse of what you can think. That is the ultimate relationship they have to that. So their reward is they define. And that is a similarity. And this is not what anybody thinks Wikipedia is. And this is definitely not what an encyclopedia should be. We think that an encyclopedia is the most concise, most objective, shortest version of the truth that you can get. It should be neutral. In fact, as I described in the beginning, you criticize Wikipedia. And they come back. That's like we have six days in the week to get back to you and punish you for criticizing Wikipedia in public. That went so far that I was invited at the end of the last year to a TV podium at the German Book Fair to discuss the book that you just said was the reason they invited me. And then when I was publicized on the list for this talk show, these people started to write emails to the TV station, and especially the guy who I published and then who was sued by Elias Davidson. And he said that he's a Jew, and he couldn't understand that they have these anti-Semitic people like me and give them a possibility to speak in public their right-wing radical views. And he's very sad about this. And he never thought that this would be possible again in Germany after 1945. Things like, he depicted himself like a victim of me. And the TV channel was fair enough to show that to me and said, because they were reacting, it was reaction all over the TV channel. They said, whoa, what is this? Yeah. And then I said, okay, this guy just lost 2 court cases against me. And he had been involved in a ton of smear campaigns against people. That is his modus of operation all the time. And it's very kind that you show it to me, but I can tell you that this is a private thing that's going on. And he'd done that before. He'd even edited the entry of a former classmate of his school, whom he disliked from his youth days, and smeared him to being an idiot in Wikipedia. When we told this to the guy, he couldn't believe it. It's like 40 years ago, and he took a revenge 40 years afterwards. This guy also, in his email address, took the address of Kaiser Sozi. That is the guy from the Usual Culprits. I don't know what it's called in English. That's a movie where the devil, that's the name of the devil in this movie. The devil is making his deals, and he's working under disguise. So Kaiser Sozi, he took this as his email address. So you see what kind of persons you're dealing with there. And people still think that Wikipedia is one of the brightest examples of what the internet can provide to the public.
Okay, I appreciate your overview. Now let us go through what the average person going to Wikipedia does not appreciate, how much misinformation on certain topics they're receiving, and how any of the journalists, real journalists, and at the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, 60 Minutes, certainly, they have highly intelligent, well-educated people who have access to resources. They could find the truth. So if all of these hundreds of journalists never have written a word against Wikipedia, what could possibly be their motive, knowing that the consequences could be deadly? I'll give you an example. Let's say that you're a person with stage 4 cancer. You've undergone surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. But a year later, it came back. They went ahead again and gave you more chemotherapy, but then realized your immune system was so gone that they couldn't do anything more, so they sent you to hospice care. Before going into hospice care, you said, I had heard that there's some other therapies that might be able to help me. So they Google alternative cancer therapies. That immediately takes them to Wikipedia. And then they see that there are no therapies. It's all quackery. There's no legitimacy whatsoever. And so the person simply accepts and is resigned to the inevitability of their dying. How many people could be alive today or their suffering diminished or lessened if they had started with Wikipedia and when it would be honest instead of lies? It could have saved a lot of lives, because there are millions upon millions of people in the United States, billions worldwide, who have used Ayurvedic traditional healing systems and have benefited. But you wouldn't know that from Wikipedia. So I have to ask the question, can it be considered a part of their responsibility, the editors and the board of directors and the lawyers and Jimmy Wells? Could they be held accountable for wrongful death, for suppressing information that they should have and could have known was wrong, that they were promoting, preventing people from even having access to information in a society that says, my body, my choice, and freedom of choice is paramount in most people's lives? And yet here we have no freedom of choice. The choice was made for you by Wikipedia, its editors, and whoever is influencing them. So take us through what's wrong with Wikipedia that you have found that was presented in your two documentaries and in your work.
It would be easier to present what is right, because that would be shorter. Yeah, but I can give you, it's a little bit of a winding story, but it will explain very well. We have established that there's a certain worldview, which is called the skeptic worldview. It's not skeptic really, because they have a belief. They are rather hardcore atheists who have a materialist view of the world, and that's the only possibility that they encounter. So this is the philosophical standpoint from where these people judge. Everything else they consider unscientific, which in itself in philosophy wouldn't be sufficient meanwhile to be. That's from, as I said, from the 19th century, or rather from the beginning 19th to 20th century, not valid anymore. But this is the belief that they share. And I can explain that quite well. In Germany, we have something like Wikipedia on crack, which is called Psiram. That's an illegal website, completely illegal. It's under German law. It's you cannot sue it, because they have no address. They just come in. It's the company is situated in Iceland. The servers are in Bulgaria. And the whole thing is very well established, so that nobody, they can smear you and you can't go against it legally. That is connected to Wikipedia. It's technically connected, because a lot of the people that are these in-group of in Wikipedia connected with quotations. So Psiram and Wikipedia show up on Google as first hits in Germany when you, for example, Google for a person. I am meanwhile the person in Psiram, which is the number one entry. Nobody has a longer entry than me. And that is because of our fight against the Wikipedia injustice. So they have up from Wikipedia, where we at least could do something in some cases legally, where you can sue. Psiram is kind of, they can attack you and nothing happens. So this is what they do. And in there, this origin, the origin from this website Psiram is a website which is called, I don't know, you would consider, could translate it to Quackopedia or something like that. So they're fighting against what they consider unscientific forms of medical treatment and science. And everything is there. They don't dare to touch the churches itself, but everything that is, every kind of idea that there's something, another reality aside from that atomic reality, so to speak. Yeah. They have been smeared there, and it had been blown up to, meanwhile, a group of more than 1,000 people who are smeared on this webpage in every form possible. And it looks somewhat like Wikipedia, but it's even worse. It's a lot of the things they are on it, I would say 60-70% are false, but you cannot go against it. But what you can see is that it's the same the same philosophical or beliefs or ideological beliefs that are depicted in Wikipedia. So that is, to come to your question, I think we have to take into account that this is the worldview of the people who want to have that, that there, that this, and this is, I would assume, I cannot prove what I say right now, but I would assume if I look at it, that there's an interest in this going into the, let's say, globalized corporate world, where huge, where there's, it's like a takeover from the political power, from the political instances where we at least to some degree can vote for, can control who's in there, going to this global company level, where you are among Facebook, you're among Google, you're among YouTube, where censorship now reigns supreme, and you can do nothing. You can't do anything against it, where even, I mean, you don't have to be a fan of President Trump, but the fact that they can close down a U.S. president is a little bit over the top, I would say. Yeah, and the same happened here in Germany with politicians, and it's not only, it's not one direction. So they just close down everything they dislike. So there is a connection. And I would say Mr. Jimmy Wales, he has also, there's a backstory. We reported about that. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but he's in very friendly terms with, I don't get the name, the last guy from Great Britain from the Labour, New Labour, the Prime Minister of England at that time. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Tony Blair. He's on friendly terms with him, so friendly that he married his secretary. But Tony Blair and Jimmy Wales were asked by Kazakhstan, one of the former Soviet republics, who had a problem with strikes in their country, and they shot down striking workers in their country. And then they asked Mr. Blair and Mr. Wales to come up with a Clint version, a version that was censored to show how great the government was. It was Vicky Bilim, it was called. And that they did that for several million dollars. And the editor who produced this this propaganda version of a Wikipedia depicting the government and the president as heroes and close to saints. The guy who did this editing was voted for by Wikipedia as the Wikipedia editor of the year. So this is, you can see that the idea to leave truth or what should be put into an encyclopedia to people who are willing to do this, to slander truth for money in a PR campaign, and that's including Mr. Tony Blair, that is told me that these are not the right people. They should be maybe gardeners or something, but not deal in the way, and should not get the power to deal with the things that they really deal with. And so, and also we have found in Germany that you have persons who are from pharmaceutical companies who are, who edit a part of this in-group in Wikipedia and edit. There's one guy who even edited on the substances that his company worked on in Wikipedia. So they have the possibility and they are under no control. And if you tell that something, if you find out who they are, and you publish that, then nothing happens in Wikipedia. Wikipedia is a hermetic sphere. It's like a ball of iron where you come with a straw and try to say something is wrong here, and they won't react. And I think this is what you encountered too. There's no way to react against it. And being a journalist myself, I was astonished that you that the colleagues don't are not interested in this. Wikipedia is the number 13 webpage in the world.
Dirk, we're going to just re-announce your presence here today and who you are. If you just joined us, I'm Gary Knoll, and this is the Progressive Commentary Hour. Each week on the Progressive Commentary Hour, we take on a very important topic, one that has not been dealt with honestly or objectively by the mainstream media. Today, we're looking at Wikipedia. I published 72 articles against Wikipedia, showing its malfeasance, in its utter corruption, according to our research, my opinion. And we have sent every article to Wikipedia. and ask them, if you find anything wrong, let me know. Unlike you, we'll correct it. We have yet to see a single retraction request. We have informed their lawyers. We have informed their editors. So they had been warned that if they do not correct the biases that on my page, which is all biased, all lies, that we would sue them. We now are in the process of doing exactly that, and you'll be hearing me announce that lawsuit in the near future. It's taken so long because we've probably consulted with no less than 15 law firms, some of the biggest in the world, who specialize in this, looking for that angle where we're likely to win and not have it thrown out. Almost every other lawsuit against Wikipedia has failed because they're protected, and unfortunately they're protected by this particular law that says, well, they don't create any content, which is a lie. They do. Their algorithms block, for example, Google blocks you from knowing if Chris Hedges or Abby Martin or Cornel West or someone wrote an article that challenges something within the official narrative. You cannot get an article published that is challenging vaccines. Historically, or anything on COVID, you can't. You can't get an article that goes after 5G, which is the hottest new ticket of the Internet of all things, which will be an environmental and health disaster. So anything that challenges corporate America or the government is automatically disallowed, but articles attacking those people, critics, like attacking Robert F. Kennedy Jr., oh, that's allowed and encouraged. In fact, Robert F. Kennedy and a whole group were going to have a symposium just a week ago. And within 3 hours of it happening, their whole website was disallowed. So they had no forum to do this on. So that's what we're dealing with. My guest is, and I'm going to ask him about a new study, that just not a study, but a review that came out of Indonesia. By the way, Indonesia is a large country. It's relatively small in size, but when you look at how many people live there, and you're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of over 270 million people, that's 270 million people, they're demanding now that every single citizen be vaccinated with the COVID vaccine or face punishment. They're going to punish by taking away all your subsidies, food, medicine, anything, and they're going to fine you $360, which is what that's 5 million rupee, which is a huge amount for the average person. So mind you, they went from voluntary to mandatory to now what a dictator would do, a dictatorship. And so this is extremely dangerous. In fact, last night, Naomi Klein, who I have a lot of respect for, was on Tucker Carlson in a five-minute segment. And that was something you wouldn't normally see. But when I heard it, I wanted to watch it. And she's saying that we now have, not going, we have a dictatorship in the United States or a totalitarian government where all power to the government and its corporate allies and muzzling freedom of speech and mandating procedures like lockdowns that have no basis in science. So it's unusual when you see that. But then again, understand, why would she be on Tucker Carlson? Why not MSNBC? Why not where she had historically been as one of the leading and most respected third-wave feminists? Because they would not allow that kind of conversation. That's not the kind of conversation that they would open up with. Why don't they allow people such as Chris Hedges on, or people who had historically liberal views because of censorship? So it's one mass think tank, and the think tank says, you can say this, you cannot say that. If you say that, you're punished. And Wikipedia then becomes the ultimate enforcer. You see, in my personal opinion, Wikipedia is no different than a rogue entity. It abides by no principle of ethics except what it chooses to create. And once you've been told, destroy this person, makes no difference whether the person is guilty or innocent. You can say anything, do anything, And we've captured thousands of these statements. We got inside whistleblowers working in our lawsuit with us, and we got all their internal comments between them. Where do you see them? You think, my God, how can someone be an editor when they hate the person and are calling them vile names, and then turn around and be an editor? Well, that goes against Wikipedia's own rules. But then you get to see that these rules are meaningless. It's like George Bush's weapons of mass destruction. We must go in and destroy Iraq to save the people of Iraq. Well, no, that doesn't work. But there's no one holding Wikipedia accountable. There's no one holding Google, Facebook, and Twitter accountable. They're all in the same league together. So that's why this show today is so important. And my guest is, well, he brings several tools to this. His name is Dirk Pohlmann, P-O-H-L-M-A-N-N. He is a highly respected investigative journalist. He also has been associated with the prestigious Max Planck Institute. And he is a film director. He's an award winner. His work has appeared on National Geographic and Discovery and the History Channel of Canada and in Australia and Russia and throughout Europe. He's a specialist in Cold War intelligence operations, so he approaches something very level-headed. He's not biased. Historically, even though he grew up liberal in his politic, he does not bring his politic into what he does. He looks at the facts, and the facts determine the outcome. He is the author of a very important book, The Ecological Disaster. And who did that? Was that book with? Noam Chomsky and Chris Hedges and Navsas Ahmed. So wouldn't you think that someone with that background will be sought out by 60 Minutes, by important broadcasters in the United States? No, to the contrary. Wikipedia has attacked him for them being attacked, and Dirk winning, along with Marcus Feidler, his co-author, when they defended the person that was being attacked on Wikipedia, an author, Elias Davidson, who was writing about 9/11. So this was a landmark suit. He won. Remember, all it takes is for one person to show something can be done for it to be real. It took Bannister to break the four-minute mile. And then shortly thereafter, a lot of other people broke the four-minute mile and broke his record as well. So we're going into court very shortly. We've been in meetings every single day with lawyers around the world, not just here in the United States. And supporting our efforts are Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Deepak Chopra and a lot of people, because they too have been attacked, not allowed to make any changes. And finally, before we go back to Dirk, just to give you an example, there is a new major documentary coming out this week. It is produced by some outstanding journalists, investigative journalists, independent investigative journalists, and it is called The Cost of Denial. And it's about the fact that in the 1980s and 90s, there were cures for AIDS. Not just cures, but people could also live long and healthy lives, HIV infected, by being on natural and non-toxic protocols. It turns out, and I'm going to see the film this Sunday along with everyone else, that's narrated by Celia Farber, one of America's outstanding investigative journalists. But you're going to see all these patients, all of these physicians and members of medical teams at two centers talking about using my protocols. I created the protocols, and I worked with 1,200 people with full-blown AIDS, and we reversed their AIDS completely in 18 cases, completely seroconverted them, totally healthy. No HIV, no antibodies, nothing in their body. That had never happened in world history. And this was the height of the AIDS pandemic. And who was the person controlling the research? Anthony Fauci. Who today controls the research? Anthony Fauci. Who denied that natural non-toxic therapies should be funded and implemented? Anthony Fauci. And a small group around him that profited from taking the AZT that killed hundreds of thousands of people, a toxic drug. So they're showing this film now because it is very similar to what we're doing wrong with COVID, everything, the lies about COVID, all of them. And outside of it being a virus and able to kill people, everything else you've learned, the PCR test fraud, the stay at home, keep kids out of school, give vaccines to senior citizens in nursing homes, fraud, fraud, fraud. So that's why it's so timely. So here's the irony. Wikipedia says I'm an AIDS denier. Sorry, Wikipedia. In court, you will see all the patients, all the medical records. I'm the only person to cure AIDS in all these people, completely cured, and keep 1,200 of them alive for over a decade without charging a single penny. They were all treated for free. So this is all coming out. And then everyone who is engaged in challenging me on this will be sued individually. Back to you now. Please continue talking about what you uncovered in your investigation that shows that Wikipedia should have a federal Justice Department investigation, an Internal Revenue Service investigation. By the way, I'm listed as an official whistleblower with a number through the Inspector General of the Internal Revenue Service, because no one has looked at their nonprofit status and have they violated it. Back to you, Dirk.
I think you've mentioned several things which I have to make a choice now to go to where should I go. One of the things that was very interesting to me is that you mentioned Tucker Carlson. I'm a fan of Jimmy Dore. I watch his show on YouTube. That's my pastime in the evening when I for recreation. And I noticed he had been there too. And there's a strange alliance now, which I would say that people who believe in free speech, and that is not along really the lines of the old spectrum of liberal and non-liberal or so, there's the possibility that some people recognize how important that is. And we have to understand that Wikipedia is detrimental to that. It's really, it's kind of that communication becomes a strategic point, a strategic issue. It's, in the fact, it's the basis of all democracy, that we have free speech and freedom of expression, really. And we have that we get to know that there are different opinions. The economic system of these social media is that you get, if you have a certain opinion, you are fed with the same opinion over and over again, because that's for business, it's good. For advertisement, it's good. But it's not good for democracy. Here's something different, that you notice that the world around you, that there are other people. If you're in your surrounding, in your village, that is done by nature. You meet other people, and you know this effect when you talk to people of another opinion. It will slightly turn you to something else, and you notice there's something. Wikipedia is awful, and this is what I don't understand. If somebody is a journalist, is working and seeing that we have this monopoly of so-called truth, being transformed into something which is a propaganda tool. We all should be, that should not be a question of your political view. If you believe in the system of democracy, then everybody has to do something against it. And this is what I don't understand when I see that. I would like to give you the example of the guy, this guy that we tried to find out, and that was months of investigative work, really, to find him. I don't go into the field how we found him, but that's really one of my toughest investigative jobs that I'd ever had. What we noticed, I noticed that I was doing a story, and that was on an Israeli prison that's called Camp 1391, and it has been called the mother of Abu Ghraib. So anything you have seen in Abu Ghraib has been tested out there before, and worse things even. They have blackened cells without light, which are 1 yard to 1 yard, or 2 yards to 2 yards times 2 yards. They are black. They are smeared with feces. They have a air condition in their climate control, which in the summer is turned to hot and the winter turned to cold. And people, not only one, like it's written in the English Wikipedia, several people have been raped during the interrogation, either by males or by sticks. So this is an awful place. And I looked at that on the German Wikipedia, and there was nothing in that article, which I had read before. It's on Guardian, it's on Newsweek wrote about it, the United Nations wrote about it, Der Spiegel wrote about it. So a lot of what they call so-called credible sources, which is another problem. who is a credible source, but stay there. So I looked at that, and who wrote that article? That was just one guy. And then I thought maybe I've done something wrong, because the only thing wrong with this prison in the article was that nobody knew where it was. It was not on the maps. Then I looked on the English Wikipedia, and the article there was okay. So I was sure that it's there. And then I got, who wrote this, who edited this article? And then I looked up what else he did, and I noticed that he smeared or he either smeared people from the left party in Germany, the liberal party, so to speak, socialist party, or he depicted them as heroes, both. And whatever, and he edited a ton of things about, let's say, Israeli military, especially special operations, but also foreign policy. Whenever Israel used force in the Middle East, he was there editing that. So I tried to find out, I said, what is that? And to cut a long story short, in the end, we found him. And he had been a candidate for a member of parliament in Germany, for the German parliament, from the predecessor of the left party. And he was not successful. He was considered by many of the colleagues that knew him a backstabber, which he is, I can tell. he couldn't do that there. He was a conscientious objector in Germany, but he became enlisted. He volunteered in the Israeli Defense Forces. So conscientious objector on the grounds that he couldn't kill people, but volunteered in Israel, and a member of the left party who smears his own party people who are not on his factional side. So, and then we told members of the German parliament that this is the guy who does their Wikipedia entry. And they were stunned. They couldn't believe it, that one of their own, so to speak, did it. As I mentioned, he did it with people that he had, that he wanted to take revenge from school time. Yeah, it was, so we published that, and then he tried to sue us two times, and we won two times in court. But what you see is that if this would be science, it would not be possible for him. He wrote about the things he has a conflict of interest in, especially about these things. So he picked Wikipedia because it's anonymous to do that. And Wikipedia has no method to prevent something from like this from happening. And he's still editing after these court cases and so on. They just protect him. So you see how large the problem is. It's not only that there is a malfunction, it's a systematic malfunction. And I think we have to ask ourselves if this malfunction is intentional or not. It's not. It's if you have a malfunction for 10 years, if I go and fly a plane and it's for 10 years, it has the same, that's impossible. So sooner or later, you try to repair the system or get something else in it, or the plane is grounded. But here, Wikipedia is not grounded. And it's praised as a masterpiece of the what we can achieve in the internet. It's really weird, because I think it's so dysfunctional to a democratic society, like hardly anything else of the social media there. And it's part of the media. It's in Germany from constitutional court. It should not be allowed that we have something like this, because it's a monopoly and because it's not under democratic control. So what you describe, what you see also in Germany, is that there's a political slant in it, which is very weird. It's, you cannot say left wing, right wing. It's along the lines of these skeptics and along the lines of these people. For example, there's a group in Germany, and they call themselves left wings, but their political opinions in terms of violence, of wars, of surveillance, and so on. You cannot, they're neocons practically. They also work for neocon newspapers. So they govern this. And I think because that's in the, it's according to the empire, so to speak, there is no problem for them. They're left there. It's not, I don't even think that they are paid or so. Some of the people working for the industry are paid. But in political, it's just that they have the right opinion. They put the people there with the right opinion. They make sure that they govern the thing. But it's in terms of democracy, the weird part, to come back to that, you said you have Tucker Carlson and Naomi Klein. That's a combination you wouldn't have thought to be possible 10 years ago. Somebody, Naomi Klein on Fox News. But the world has become so weird that Jimmy Dore and Tucker Carlson have more in common, and Naomi Klein, in terms of a real belief in democracy, than the people from the corporate media and MSNBC and so on. Yeah. So it's a strange world. Yeah?
Dirk, we're out of time. One quick suggestion, if you haven't thought of it already. If I were you, I would give every member of your Bundestag, your government, a copy of your film on Wikipedia and the documents with a petition. The petition is to strip Wikipedia of any protection it has in your country and ask for official investigations by the government. Put them on the spot and see what comes from that. I would do that. I would take it.
Being a journalist, I think this has to be in public. It should be a journalistic. It should be discussed in the media, because that's where, if you are a journalist and you want to interview somebody, you look in Wikipedia for the person, or if you type it into Google, that's the first hit you have. And by this way, they even minimize the people that you talk with. If you see Gary Null is a crackpot and is somebody who's non-scientific, if you don't go deeper and if you don't have the wish to find something else, that will be it. You're a testified idiot, and they won't talk to you. I think we should do that every way possible. And another way possible is that we talk. That we say, hey, same problem in Germany and the United States. And I bet if you go to Kuala Lumpur, it's the same problem. Yeah, yes. We have a problem there, and that's a democratic problem if we believe in that. Anyway, legally, by government, by public, this needs to be rectified. Yeah?
Dirk, I agree. It's just that in America, virtually all the media will not touch Wikipedia. They're protecting it. Dirk Pohlman, my guest. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.